As we continue to worship the Lord this evening, He will graciously speak to you through His holy, living Word in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. We're going to turn to both places and have them marked, and we'll look at them more than once. So please turn and open and mark Matthew chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 13, and then Luke chapter 11. Verses 2 through 4. These are the two and only places where the Lord's Prayer is recorded. We begin to study the Lord's Prayer directly this evening. We're done with the general thoughts about prayer. Now we begin to study the Lord's Prayer. This is a bit of an introductory lesson with the catechisms that we'll be studying this evening. So Matthew 6, 9 to 13, Luke 11, 2 to 4. We'll look at all the scriptures there, but we particularly want to give our attention to the first verse of each of these accounts of the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to be guided by the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answers 186 and 187. We'll look at both of those together this evening. Matthew chapter 6 to begin with, and then we'll look at Luke chapter 11. This is the Word of God. May it sink into your hearts, and may it make you pray from your heart, according as the Lord has instructed. Matthew 6, beginning with verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Now we look to Luke chapter 11, the other time that we see the Lord's Prayer in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 11, verses 2 through 4. Luke 11, beginning with verse 2. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we begin the Lord's Prayer tonight, and it is going to be a lengthy study in the weeks to come. This is a bit of an introduction. Before we do, I want to review where we've been, all the things we've learned about prayer in the last number of weeks leading into where our study of the entire catechism will now close, the Lord's Prayer. General rules of prayer were summarized in these sermon points. Give yourselves to prayer. Only pray to God. Have mercy for His name's sake. Only pray through Christ. The Holy Spirit helps you hope. Pray for the living. Pray for things lawful. Pray on your knees. Tonight, we look at what we are to use in prayer, and the short answer is the Bible, and the more specific direction is the Lord's Prayer, also in the Bible. So, something we know, but something we can tend to neglect, and therefore not pray like we could or should. So we're going to learn to pray the Bible, and in particular, we're going to learn to pray the Lord's Prayer. And now we turn to the Larger Catechism, question and answers 186 and 187, to help us understand how to use the Lord's Prayer. Question 186. What rule hath God given for our direction in the duty of prayer? The whole Word of God is of use to direct us in the duty of prayer. But the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which our Savior Christ taught His disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. How is the Lord's Prayer to be used? The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern, according to which we are to make other prayers, but may also be used as a prayer, so that it be done with understanding, faith, reverence, and other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. So let's think about the Lord's Prayer. We saw it first in Matthew, then in Luke. There are slight variations, and that's just explained by Jesus likely just taught it on more than one occasion, and they seem to be different occasions in each text, and like any of us, we might adjust or say the same way, but a little differently, but they're essentially the same prayer. And in each version, it's the same idea here. What does Jesus teach us broadly in the Lord's Prayer? He teaches His custom-made prayer for Christians. This is a prayer He custom makes for you Christians. It is a prayer that he gives to be a model for your prayers, and it is a model prayer to use in his kingdom. It's called the Lord's Prayer, but it's not really his prayer in the sense of him praying it, although in many ways it would surely mirror the way he prays. But for instance, he's not going to pray, "Forgive me," for he has no debts that he owes to God. He's perfect. It's a prayer he gave to you. It's a prayer he gave to his disciples who asked for it. It's a prayer he gave in the Sermon on the Mount for those who are part of his kingdom. It's a prayer that Christians use to recognize his heavenly lordship over them on this earth. The Bible, and in particular the Lord's Prayer, are for you to pray like him. And remember that Jesus was constantly found in prayer to the Father, whom he directs us to directly address. And so we can understand for sure that as he gives us these ideas and these forms, these things generally to be praying about, and even the words to use as our own, we can be confident that they reflect the way he would pray. Certainly he wouldn't be asking for forgiveness for himself. He would be asking for it for his body, and he provides it in his body. The message for you tonight, as we consider praying the Word of God, and we consider that it is given to us, in particular the Lord's Prayer, by he who is the Word of God, pray the Word like the Word. Pray the Bible, pray like Jesus. Pray the Word like the Word. First of all, learn from the Bible what to say when you pray. It seems elementary, but how often do we neglect the Scriptures as our assistants and our words for prayer, our way of praying? Learn from the Bible what to say when you pray. Question 186 in part says this: the whole Word of God is of use to direct us in the duty of prayer. All of the Bible's to direct us. There are prayers in the Bible we may often use. There's an example of how one falls prostrate before the Lord. Corporate praying, individual praying, all of the doctrine, all of the things. We can pray, "Lord, just as you rescued your people out of Egypt, so deliver us out of this catastrophe." There's all these different things that you can think about that you know from the Scriptures and pray like that. "Lord," perhaps if we're farmers, or, well, do we need to be farmers? Just living in Southern California, "Lord, Elijah prayed for rain 7 times and the rain finally came. May we pray regularly without ceasing for rain, and may you send it to us." Those kinds of things. You can think off the Scriptures and think of certain situations and ask that God would provide. "Lord, Lord, we are attacked on all sides. Help us to see that greater are they who are with us, though we cannot see them, than those who we do see." Those kinds of things can inform our prayers. 1 John 5, verse 14 is given to us. "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." We've talked about what his will is, primarily that you would be thankful and that you would be holy, sanctified. That's primarily his will. So you pray according to those things. You govern your prayers according to his will. And that's when he will hear you. Otherwise, he won't. If we pray according to our will and it's against his will, he won't hear us. But if we pray according to his will, he heareth us. Well, how do you know a will? How do you know how an estate left by a person who's passed on, how do you know how to use it? How is it to be used, the estate that's been left behind? His will, her will. You open the will and you read it, and then you know what to do with what's been given to us. Well, Christ has given to us the kingdom of heaven. He's entrusted it to us and to advance it throughout the world. And prayer is one of the main means of grace for the church to survive and thrive and move forward. And so he's told us how he wants us to steward his kingdom in prayer and how to do it. Read the Bible. Pray the Bible. I remind you, if you heard the covenant vows of our baptized covenant child and sister now to take of the Lord's Supper with us tonight, if you listen to those queries, those vows to God and oaths to one another, you promised when you did that to read the Bible, and you promised to pray regularly. You promised. See, it's not an option. You covenanted to do that. And it's not wrong to ask you to covenant to do that, because it's what God requires and commands of you. We tend to treat God's Bible as if these are potential things we may pick and choose off of a smorgasbord. No, it's His full Bible that He would have us live fully. So read the Bible and then pray the Bible. It's really simple. Know your Bible well. Wherever you are in your devotions on a given day, notice what's there and pray off of that. Look for the main parts of prayer, and that's what we've been studying a lot on Wednesday nights, and we've already considered in this series on prayer, and the acronym is very helpful for us, A-C-T-S, ACTS, Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, Sanctification. Isaac Watts gave us a few other parts, such as Invocation, calling on God's names is very helpful. Don't forget the book that I've also been using a little bit for us, Matthew Henry's book, which is called A Method for Prayer, with Scripture Expressions. You know, he only got through the book of Acts in his own commentary. The rest was done by others. And remember that he forfeited finishing that himself so that he could finish what he thought was more important, a book on prayer. That book, remember, is he took the main sections of prayer. He recognized what they are, similar to ACTS or Isaac Watts's divisions. And then he fleshed out those sections, that skeleton of prayer, with scriptures, particularly really scriptural prayers and expressions to be used in each of those sections to guide us. In the end, he provides prayers for family worship, for before a meal, on the Sabbath day. He even provides, and I pray this with my daughter tonight to take the Lord's Supper the first time, he provides a prayer to prepare your heart to take the Lord's Supper. And then tonight we'll read another prayer he provides, a prayer after you've taken the Lord's Supper. And we even had catechisms to encourage and remind us to be doing those very things before, during, and after the Lord's Supper. And Matthew Henry's provided some wonderful tools to use. Now, the version I have been using is called A Way to Pray, and it's a modern revision made by O. Palmer Robertson. I saw it, this is typical for pastors. I was at that theology conference, and this is a book I had just heard of, and I knew we'd be getting into prayer. Oh, I gotta have it! And I didn't realize that it's not the original, the old school way, and it's been helpful. And I want to share about some other ways you can get the book, but I've already found it very helpful. But listen to this. O. Palmer Robertson, he had a student who did something else with this book as well. Ligon Duncan, who's chancellor of the Reformed Theological Seminary on the East Coast, he put together a revised version of Henry's book on prayer also, and you can access it for free on the website and read the whole thing online on the website at MatthewHenry.org. MatthewHenry.org. I encourage you to take a look. But if you want to go old school, as I intend to update what I have learned since that if you go to Amazon, you can get the old version, the original version by Matthew Henry for Kindle, if you have a Kindle, for a couple of dollars. And you can find it in print by a publisher called Forgotten Books. You can find the old version in print by a publisher called Forgotten Books. You can also read it digitally online, the old version, for free on Google Books. So if you're interested in taking advantage of this jewel, something that old Palmer Robertson said other than the Bible was the most important book in his life. It's interesting that when Ligon Duncan was a student of old Palmer Robertson, he and his fellow seminary students were really impressed with how Dr. Robertson prayed. In the classes, in chapel, I'm assuming, as well, and in public, he had a special power to the way he prayed. And his students picked up on this, and they said, how do you do that? How can we become more proficient and powerful in our congregational prayer? And he said, read your Bible and get this book by Matthew Henry. Ligon Duncan says, here's why it's a good reason to use a tool like Matthew Henry's book, to pray the scriptures well. He says, a scriptural manner of praying provides the order, proportion, and variety that should characterize all our prayers. It will teach us of the extreme urgency of prayer. One of the special reasons, he says, it'll teach us of the extreme urgency to prayer. Hey, do you lack urgency to pray? Do you lack urgency in your family prayers? Do you lack urgency in your individual prayers? Using something like Matthew Henry's book, putting these prayers together, will give an extreme urgency to your prayer that you and I lack. Now, there's another reason that Matthew Henry, it would seem, probably had such an urgency for prayer and thought putting this collections of prayers from Scripture into common places for helpful use for Christians was so important. More important than his Bible commentary. They don't know for sure, but it would seem, most people think that the reason for this is Matthew Henry had this lifelong concern for prayer. They think it originated due to his recovery from a potentially terminal illness at the age of 10. Apparently, he almost died at the age of 10 years old. And he came out of that understanding the urgency of prayer. You can understand that. Many of us can understand the urgency of prayer when we're afraid of losing someone. All of a sudden, you don't have to worry about being urgent in prayer. May we have that urgency, and may it not be necessary to necessarily be close to death's bed before we become urgent. It stayed with him all his life, it would appear, and put together such a project. Another reason to use such a tool, Lincoln Duncan says, is it will return proportion to prayer. He says, for instance, you won't just pray petitions all the time and forget about adoration and thanksgiving and confession. He says also it will move us to a God-centered way of praying instead of a man-centered way of praying. And he says, for instance, it's another thing he says, it's helpful to avoid the shopping list prayers, where all we do is we come with an inventory of things that we want God to give us so that we can be on our way. You know, or as we talk about sometimes the organ donor list, you know. And it isn't, again, remember that that's not what we should pray in part. You'll see in the Lord's Prayer, there's a place for petition for personal needs, including our daily bread. But we're so vain and sinful and worldly minded that we can barely get our head up enough to think about the other main things we should be praying about, let alone praying in the context of thy kingdom, which opens and closes the Lord's Prayer, let alone focusing on God's glory, which is how we're to enter into prayer and be thinking about through the prayer. And so by guiding ourselves, devoting ourselves to dedicated study and use of such tools for praying the Bible, we'll be protected from certain things that would hurt our prayers, and we'll be blessed with more biblical and thus more effective prayers and a prayer life. So look for examples to pray. Look for words to pray in the Scripture to formulate your prayers. And especially, follow the formula of the Lord's Prayer. Follow the formula of the Lord's Prayer. Question 186 goes on to answer, the special rule of direction is that form of prayer which our Savior Christ taught his disciples, commonly called the Lord's Prayer. So the Bible in general, but then we have a really specific tool called the Lord's Prayer, and how foolish we would be to ignore it for our pattern of prayer. Follow the pattern. That's the idea, the formula or the pattern. Mimic the model, the mode in general. Look at its parts and pray off of them and fill them up again. And if you look at it, you'll see it's very similar to what we've been studying as the parts of prayer. And so we look at Matthew chapter 6 again together for thinking about the formula or the pattern to follow as we think about the Lord's Prayer and put it to use. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. But I actually only want to look at verse 9 at the moment. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And that's all we want to look at. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this manner. You see this manner, this way of doing it. That's a little bit more of a broad general idea. It could be translated, to get the feel of it, something like this, I would argue. Thus, accordingly, to these kinds of things, pray. These main categories of concern, pray according to these kinds of things, after this manner. And I think even we could argue probably in this order. Pray according to these kinds of things and pray according to them generally in this order, I think would be safe to say. Because there is a sense of what comes first in priority in prayer. Chuck Baynard says, if you look at these parts of prayer to follow and as a pattern, these are what we see to model. First of all, generally make sure that you have adoration in your prayer. Make sure you have confession in your prayer. Assurance of pardon in your prayer. Something I'm trying to be more and more mindful of. Sometimes there's a particular part in the liturgy of a church service. Don't let that word liturgy bother you. We all have a liturgy. It's just what it is. It's not a bad idea for the pastor after confession of sin to really have a good amount of a sense of the expression of God's pardon over us. He says another thing you see in the Lord's Prayer as a part to follow as a general pattern to include is, of course, thanksgiving. also supplication, intercession, and communion of the saints. Now that's interesting, communion of the saints. We're praying to our Father, not my Father. Forgive us. Everything's plural about it. We have this idea of praying together, which, as we think in a little while from now, could make sense of why we may pray together in the congregation. Teach us to pray. You all, plural, should pray in this manner. And so certainly communion of saints is involved in that. So it's a model to prayer. It's a pattern to follow and fill out. Think of it like using a coloring book or maybe a painting by numbers or something. You know, the lines are drawn and they're set together for you and you fill in the colors. You take the general colors and you put them in those places they're supposed to be. You don't have to start from scratch. I mean, isn't that a glorious thing? We struggle to pray, right? We struggle to have fervency to prayer. Well, we've been given a model to follow, so we don't have to just kind of try to think about it and never say anything because we don't feel like we know what to do. We have a prayer to follow, and it's very simple. It's very short. It's very helpful. All we need to do is pray a part of it and then pray off of those parts. We don't need to never know what to say. J.G. Fawcett would draw our attention to four things about the Lord's Prayer as a model in general, and I think these are helpful to review. The first thing that the Lord's Prayer gives us in general as a model is reverence. Reverence. Respect of God Almighty. The second thing that he notes as something to model in our prayer by the Lord's Prayer is simplicity, directness, and brevity. It's not complicated. He makes it something easy to do. Third, it is God-centered in its character. And that we've already seen before. It is God-centered in its character. And fourth, there is a request for material and spiritual needs. So there is asking for material and spiritual needs, but he highlights, notice, involved in asking for spiritual needs includes asking for forgiveness of sins. And he argued that's something sorely lacking from Christian prayers today. You don't hear churches saying a whole lot about forgive me for my sins in our prayers. But the Lord's Prayer would have us asking for that as part of our model of regular prayer time with him. And knowing thus that we have it, which is important for us to experience. Same reason we have the Lord's Supper tonight together. Now, you do want to avoid mechanical use. We're not to be like robots. We do want to avoid praying it rote, as they say, where we just say the words because we have memorized and we hardly think about them and our minds is somewhere else and then we're done and we're not meaning them. But every word can have real meaning if you mean it. Make use of the Lord's Prayer as a form prayer. Make use of the Lord's Prayer as a form. Here we get into question 187 with its answer. The Lord's Prayer is not only for direction as a pattern, that's what we've just discussed, according to which we are to make our prayers, so we should use it as a pattern. Perhaps you might even argue we should primarily use it as a pattern, but I think the best way to use it as a pattern is to literally pray each of its parts and pray off of it. And it goes on to say, but we may also use it as a prayer. We can actually pray the Lord's Prayer word by word. And it's a prayer. It's a legitimate prayer. It's meant to be prayed verbatim, not just as a model. Let's turn now to Luke 11, Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. But we're going to look again at the first verse, and it's a little different. Luke 11, verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say. When ye pray, say. Now before, pray in this manner, but here it says, when ye pray, say. Or it could be translated something like this, I think, to get the full idea. Whenever you pray, speak these words. The word say could just as much be speak. It's the same idea. It's nothing profound about that. But sometimes hearing another synonym that you could translate it as helps you to say. He says, speak these words. Say these words. I don't know what to say in prayer. Say the Lord's Prayer. If nothing else, say the Lord's Prayer. Let me tell you something. If our families in the churches here and elsewhere throughout the world would even alone just pray the words of the Lord's Prayer together at the dinner table, we'd be an entirely different body for Christ. We have no excuse not to pray together because we can use it as a very form of prayer. You can pray the Lord's Prayer. You should pray the Lord's Prayer in the exact words as you pray alone and as you pray together. I believe I can promise you, God helping me, that if you will give yourself to the Lord's Prayer regularly, it will change your prayer life. It will facilitate your prayer life. It will guide and direct and fulfill your prayer life. And you won't be found not praying individually or publicly. It just won't be likely. It's so easy. You can pray the very words verbatim. You can mean those very words. It's like singing the songs you love. You have them memorized. You know every single word by heart. You repeat it line for line. Sometimes if you're younger, you drive your parents crazy because you know it so well and you love it so much. You sing it all the time, again and again and again, because you love it and you never grow tired of it. You see, if you love what these words say, you can pray them and mean them for yourself, just like any prayer you might borrow from someone else. But certainly you can borrow the words of the Lord, the King of Glory, who said, whenever you pray, say these words. Say, and then he tells you the words to say. You can sing those words of that song by heart, repeat them line by line, and you can sing it with feeling because of their meaning, because of what the words mean and what they mean to you, because you understand them. They mean something, and they're powerful. You know, singing a lot of songs that are on the radio are easy to sing because they're all so simple. Just as the Lord's Prayer is. And they can be meaningful. And so can the Lord's Prayer be. Question 187 goes on to say, you really should pray it as a form as well, so that it be done with understanding, faith, reverence, and other graces necessary to the right performance of the duty of prayer. You want to pray with understanding? You want to pray with faith, reverence? Have all the graces God provides? You want to pray the right way? Then pray the Lord's Prayer, because it guides you to say the right thing in the right way. If we don't use the tools God gives us, we are unlikely to pray rightly or well or often. Think about it. How often do you pray? How often do you give yourself to pray? As the pastor preaching through the series on preaching, I'm shamed all the time. I think about it all the time. But I'm also doing something about it more and more. And the Lord's Prayer is so helpful to get it going and to do it more. It is the very Word of God. It will not come back void as you offer it up to Him in your prayer life. Think about this. The Lord's Prayer was given during the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew. He was giving a sermon, a long, very long sermon about what it is to be a citizen in the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God on earth. Now on earth, because Christ the King has brought it to earth. The disciples in Luke, how to pray, teach us to pray. And he teaches them to pray, for they're his disciples, they're Christians. You see, the Lord's Prayer is given by Jesus Christ so that we don't pray like pagans, but we pray like Christians. And true Christians at that, not hypocrites. Not long tons of words with no meaning. We think if we just heap a whole bunch of stuff up there, something's got to stick as we try to manipulate God or our imagination of Him. Not hypocritically for all to see. Not in vain eloquence for all to be impressed. We just pray like children who approach their father saying, Abba, Father, our Heavenly Father, please give us these things. May you glorify yourself as we serve you in your kingdom. And may your kingdom come, and may it begin with me, O Abba Father. We want to pray like Christians. And Jesus Christ has given that prayer so that the nations hear us pray and recognize that's not a pagan, that's a Christian praying. So that people know who you are. And they know who your Lord is. You see, if you pray according to the Scriptures and you pray according to the Lord's Prayer in particular, you have a prayer identity. You'll be able to be marked, picked out as a Christian. Because the pagans don't pray anything like that. Christians should pray as Christ taught us to pray. Praying the Lord's Prayer preserves against faulty theology and wasting His and our time as we approach and address Him. I was struck by something J.G. Voss shared in his commentary on the Catechism on this section of the introduction of the Lord's Prayer. He says, and I didn't realize this, Scofield Reference Bible. Now, if you have a Scofield Reference Bible in your bookshelves at home, and I have one, I got it for free, and I took it so I could see what's in there, and it happened to be King James. But be forewarned, you should put a big warning mark on that Bible, because it's dangerous, it's extremely dangerous, it's really, really bad. And the man that put it together and the men that he put it together with were really, really bad men. Which is perhaps what is behind what the Scofield Reference Bible teaches us about the Lord's Prayer. What do you think it teaches you? It teaches you you're not to speak it, you're not to use it, you're not to pray it. Jesus Christ told me to pray this. Yes, but you must not. Why? Well, first of all, because they're faulty, horrible, wicked, dispensational theology. They say that the time still leading up to this time is a time under the law, which is a false dichotomy of the scriptures. It's one church, old and new. And they say that thus you can't pray because it's Old Testament. It's the law, still during John the Baptist's time. The other reason, apparently, he says in the Scofield Reference Bible not to pray the Lord's Prayer is to ask for forgiveness of sins is not under grace. What? We don't still have sins to confess and ask the Lord to forgive us of. That is the kind of talk of a person who's living a sinful life. If you recall the beginning of our study of the book of Revelation, we watched a video for a few weeks that was particularly thorough of what's so bad about dispensationalism, and it went into the life of these men. And not to throw out a straw man argument, but you can imagine when you learn about their lives, why they may not want to face God and say, forgive me for my sins. Because of course, to ask for forgiveness of sin is to recognize you've been doing wrong and you have to change. But Jesus would have us pray, forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, oh, we don't want to forgive each other. Jesus commands it. How is that not grace in the gospel? Forgive us our debts. As we forgive our debtors, for Christ has told us elsewhere, you have got to forgive those who owe you, just as I forgive you your debts. Can you see thus with such a, I hope you can see a crazy, asinine understanding of the scriptures? Can you see thus why you should make sure to pray the Lord's Prayer and the scriptures, but especially the Lord's Prayer, and to pray it often to keep your head on straight? To keep your prayers going up as an acceptable offering to the Lord that He will send back down, having been purified on the altar by the scepter of Christ to make its work in this world. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Jesus, who gave it to you, is the Word. And He gave you what to say to Him in His Word, and even by His very words. Look at those words. Look at His example, as we saw recently, falling on His face and His knees. Pray the Word like the Word. And use those very words He gave as you pray the Word like the Word. Let us pray. O Lord God, make us people of the Word, and let it show by us being people of prayer. And we close now praying as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.